Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf lamed dalid. The Gemara at the very top of the Yom is referring back to our Mishnah. So let's go over the Mishnah again, and then we'll jump into the Gemara. So to Mishnah. Mishnah back on lamed gimel amid beis. Shnayim shekidshu shtei noshin. Two Jews married two women. At this point, nobody's related to anybody. Yankel and Beryl, and Shprintz and Chani, no relationship, gurish. At the time of going into chuppah, as you know, in the good old days, they didn't have Eirusin and Nisuin back to back like we have today. Usually it's up to a year later. Anyway, so they're already Mikudeshes. Mikudosh, the two sets of women to the two men. And now, sometime later, it's time to Kinisa chuppah. Hechlifu es shel ze lo ze. V'es shel ze lo ze. The Lashon of the Mishnah literally is not very charitable. It sounds like they switched it lechad chila b'mezin and baratzayim, and of course that would be a terrible, terrible thing.
It switched before the chuppah or after the chuppah?
During the chuppah. So now the Gemara is going to tell us, however, that it wasn't hechlifu, that this was done intentionally, but rather huchlifu, that this was done by accident. Therefore, it must have been very dark. They didn't see each other. They didn't recognize each other. Anyway. As a result, unfortunately,
they were kaddish for shliach, and they didn't even usher the kaddish without seeing. But it could have done it anyway.
The kiddushin took place already a while ago, but they didn't see each other because, from the time of kiddushin until the time of nisuin, the young lady would live together with her family, and the young man would live together with his family, and therefore it could have been a lengthy period of time they didn't see each other, and they may not even recognize each other. But regardless, what happened was there was a chalipin again b'shogeg. If Chas V'Sholom Yankel lived together with Chani, and if Chas V'Sholom Beryl lived together with Shprintze, in other words, their non-wives, then the oyim mishum eishes ish, like an adulterous affair, but it was b'shogeg Baruch Hashem, it wasn't amazing. And if the two were brothers, it wasn't that stam people. Two brothers, and now what happened was each one of the brothers took the wrong wife. Then the Mishum Eishesach, because they're not taking their wife, they're taking their brother's wife. The Mahayu Achoyus, if the two ladies were in fact sisters, the Mishum Isha El Achoyisa, then each one is taking the sister of his wife, which is of course also prohibited. The Mahayu Nidais, and if at the time that they were living together with them, they were also Nida, they had their regular periods. Mishum Nida. So therefore what our Mishnah is telling you is that we can have a situation of a person living together with a woman that he thinks is his wife, and it turns out that he and she are being over on four Isurim. The four Isurim are the Eishes Ish, that she's a married woman and not married to that individual. And it's also his Eishes Ach. It's also his Achois Ishtoi. And she's also a Nida. Were this person to do all of these B'meizah, there would be four times Kares. Since it's impossible that a person should get Kares more than once, the Gemara says we're talking about a Shogeg situation. And therefore he is Chayiv for Chatois. And not only he is Chayiv, she is Chayiv. And only he and she, but the other he and she. Because Yankel and Beryl, unfortunately, both, when they lived together with Chani and Shprintz instead of Shprintz and Chani, guess what happens? Each one of the four individuals is over four chatois. And that's what the Gemara explained already yesterday. We'll look at it again in a moment. And now the Mishnah continues. After this terrible thing took place, and now, Baruch Hashem, everybody recognizes the correct wife, and they realize they made a big, big boo-boo. We don't allow the correct husband to go back to the correct wife for a period of 3 months. Why? Because perhaps when they lived together at that time, maybe the wife got impregnated. And what's going to happen is, if she's now going to go back to her right husband, in 3-4 months people will see that she's pregnant. And we won't know whether she was pregnant to the wrong husband or to the right husband. Not only is it the question of trying to be mavchin, trying to decide who is who, but it's also going to be a problem of potential mamzerus. Because if in fact she became pregnant from the wrong husband, which happens to be her brother-in-law, the vlad would be a mamzer. So therefore we want to know what's the status of these kids. We tell her 3 months, stay away from your husband. We're talking about that the wife was only a 10-year-old, that she cannot possibly have a child. Then she can go back to her husband immediately, because anyway, she's not going to be pregnant in 3 months or 5 months. It's still going to take another year or two. So, if this whole situation was not a situation of regular Yisraelim, Yisraeliyos, but rather we're talking about Kohanos, Nifsalu min ha-truma, as a result of this Maisa, they become Poslim min ha-truma. There's another gears on the side, min ha-kahuna, because they might have a status of a Zoyna. But anyway, we're going to talk about that, Mi'etz Hashem, later in the Shir. Getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that the two were hechlifu. So immediately the Gemara says, hechlifu, meaning Rishias, we're talking about Rishoyim Chas Rishoyim, Vesuha Detoni Rabchi Harikan Sheish Esrei Chatois. This is what we spoke about before. That there's 16 altogether, four individuals, four Isurim. Each 4 times 4 is 16. Say tomorrow, even Mazin, the Karban. If it's Mazin, then no Karbanis, there's only Krisis. Rabbiuda today, hechlifu, etc. So we go to the top of the Yomid now, and the Yomid now is going to explore the Isser Koil and the Isser Moisef and the Isser Masachas, since Barry would very much like to delve into this in great detail so that we should have a fundamental understanding of the differences between one and the other. So sending more Uman Haitana the Isla Isser Koil, the Isser Moisef, the Isser Basachas, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that obviously holds of all of these. Remember, there's a general rule of Ein Isser Chal al Isser. When there is a pre-existing Isser, a second Isser cannot be superimposed on the existing one. However, although that is the general rule, there are at least three exceptions to the rule. One is what's called an Isser Koil, one's called an Isser Moisef, one's called an Isser Bas Achas. And to get to the four Chatois in our Mishnah, we have to employ all three. Because if we held that these are not exceptions to the rule, but ain't Isser Chal al Isser, so then once we're talking about one Isser, for instance, the first one was Eishes Ish, then how could afterwards it become an Eishes Ach, Mitan Achois Isha? The Chayyah already have one Isser. The fact that we accumulate four Isurim, and as a result, four Chatois times four people, is the Chasim in the town of our Mishnah holds of all of these Isser. Now the question is, how does that, which ones, which Isurim in our Mishnah are Isser Koil, and which one are Isser Moisef, or Isser Basachas? So for that we have the benefit of the Top Rashi. Now in general, the difference between Isser Moisef and Isser Basachas, not Isser Basachas, and Isser Koil is summarized very succinctly in the Rashi back on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, where Rashi tells us exactly what the differences are. It's Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. It's Rashi about three quarters down the Amud. Unfortunately, we do not have the first words of the Rashi emboldened, so we have to look for a soft font. And the Rashi begins Isser Moisef. It's right after two dots. Again, it's around three quarters, two thirds down the Amud. Isser Moisef, says Rashi Kisho, Isser Moisef ala chaticha li oisra al mi shehoise muteres olav. We have a case of a chaticha. Chatichas Isur, something that was also already before. It was also only to, let's say, one individual. And what happens is, as a result of a new Isur coming on the scene, which applies to other individuals, then we say, Migoy, that there's a new Isur on this Chaticha. This Isur is not only vis-a-vis those other individuals, but also on that individual for whom it was already osur. What's an Isser Koilo? She Isser Chal al Chatichos Acheirois. That we're not talking about that the original Isser gets superimposed a brand new Isser, but rather that the Isser is spreading now to other Chatichos. The Oise Gereris Lazu Imoim Ali De Migoy. And the one that was already osur before, he gets schlepped in through this mechanic of a Migoy that it's osur to the others, it's osur to him. Okay, all of that sounds very interesting. How does that apply in our case? So we're getting now to our Mishnah. Zokti Gemara. Uman haitana de masnisen. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? I'm looking at the top Rashi on Lamed Dalid Omer Aleph. Top Rashi. It's a very simple Rashi, but we have to go through it slowly. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The Isla Isser Chalal Isser. Bein al Yidei Koil. Bein be Isser Moisef. Bein al Yidei Basachas. We have to employ all three of these rules to get to the four chatois. Kigon elu shechayoven arva chatois. Like the case of our Mishnah, they're all chayv four chatois. Dekishakidesh ruvein es rochot chala. We have over here two brothers and two sisters. Truth of the matter, we started off the Mishnah just with penuyim and penuyois, meaning not related, but now we know at the end of the Mishnah that we're talking about two brothers and two sisters, so we now Rashi already introduces it at this point.
Amen.
When Reuven initially went and married Rachel, Nesra al Shimon Mishum Eishes Ach, and the Eishes Ish, vis-a-vis Shimon, would Shimon be allowed to go and take Rachel in marriage, or for that matter, just to go and live with Rachel without the benefit of marriage? What would be the Issa vis-a-vis Shimon? Number one, she is an Eishes Ish, she's married, and number two, she's an Eishes Ach, she's married to his brother, right? Reuven and Shimon. Shimon is delighted for Reuven that Reuven married Rachel. Rachel's a very nice young lady, and if Shimon would have the desire to go and live with Rachel, and if Chas v'Shalom he did live with Rachel, then guess what happens? He'd be over two Isurim, Eish Esach and Eish Esish. Now, did either one of these two Isurim precede the other one? Says Rashi, no. Both of them came simultaneously. Why? Because when Reuven put the ring on Rachel and she became now an Eishes Ish, she also became at the very same moment also Eishes Ach. That's very simple. And since our Mishnah says two chatois both on Eishes Ach and Eishes Ish, it's obvious that our Tana holds, he subscribes to the din of Basachs. Good. Now Shimon, to whom we said Rachel would be Osir because of the fact that Shimon is a brother of Reuven, and therefore he's not allowed to go and marry Eishes Reuven, now he did the second best thing, the Kiddush Leah. He took Leah. Leah, of course, is a sister of Rachel, like we find in the Torah. So what happens now? Migoy de Asri Leah Hanach Kedushin Bekulu Shar Achvosa Mishum Achois Isha Asri Nami Be Eishes Ochem Mishum Achois Isha. The Afal Gav Dasura Aleha Vekaima. Vahinu Isra Kailu. What did Rashi say in those last few lines that we just went over very quickly? What Rashi said is, now that Shimon has married Leah, so Shimon and Reuven have now two relationships. What are the two relationships? Shimon, not so much Shimon and Reuven, but Shimon and Mrs. Reuven. On the one hand, vis-a-vis Mrs. Reuven, she's already an Eishes Ach from before, because it's Mrs. Reuven. And Shimon is a brother to Reuven, it's Eishes Ach. But now that Shimon has married Leah, guess what? Mrs. Reuven is also a second time sister-in-law. Not only because he married, his brother married this young lady called Rachel, and therefore that is his sister-in-law, vis-a-vis Shimon is his sister-in-law. But also, now that Rachel is also a sister of Leah, then that's the second reason why she becomes a sister-in-law. Now normally I would go and say, Ein Isser Chal Isser, and therefore if Shimon were to go and take Rachel now in marriage, or just go and live with her, since we already have an existing Isser of Eishes Ach, as well as Eishes Ish, I would say that Achois Ishtoi should not be Chal on this lady and on this relationship. So you should only get two times Pech for the Eishes Ach and Eishes Ish, meaning that the Dieved, not the Dieved, Bishoigig, he'd have to bring two Kabonis Chatas, and Lechoira, it should not, he should not be Osir Alt Achois Ishtoi. However, says Rashi, this is the secret of the Isser Koil, and that is that although vis-a-vis him, Shimon, nothing really has been added to the equation, because prior to Shimon's marrying Leah, Shimon was already Osir to Rachel. So the fact that he marries Leah now, okay, Mazel Tov, Baruch Hashem, he got married. But what does it have to do with vis-a-vis Rachel? Gunish. But what it does have to do is that all the other, well, let's talk about that, all the others in a moment. He, our good friend Shimon, and Reuven, they both happen to have another 5 or 10 brothers. All of those 5 or 10 brothers were usher to the Eishes Reuven already from the first moment that Reuven went and married his wife, Rachel. The fact that Shimon married Leah, vis-a-vis all the other brothers, is loymale v'loymoyred vis-a-vis Rachel. That original Rachel was ushered to them 5 minutes ago before Shimon married Leah. And guess what? And she remains ushered to all the other brothers after Shimon married Leah. And nothing has changed whatsoever vis-a-vis all of those brothers. there's been a change vis-a-vis Leah. We're not talking about Leah. We're talking about Rachel now. Vis-a-vis Rachel, all of the brothers were ushered to Rachel because it was Eish Esach, including, of course, Shimon. But besides Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Issachar, etc. The fact that Shimon goes and marries now Leah, nothing has changed vis-a-vis Shimon and Rachel. She was ushered before, she's ushered now. So why does Rashi say, and why does the Mishnah say, that he's also chay mishum achoyis ishtar? And the answer is, not because Isser Moisef. Isser Moisef would be that if vis-a-vis the brothers, there would be a brand new Isser that relates to the Eishes Reuven. Migoy, that the Isser of Eishes Reuven falls on all the brothers now, if that were the case, then we would say that it's also chal on him, on Shimon, even though he happens to be also from before. But that's not the case. When Reuven married Rachel, they made an Isser on all of the other brothers at that time. They're all other, all are Osir Mishum Eshesach. So this is not an Isser Moisef situation. But it is an Isser Koil situation. Why is it an Isser Koil situation? Because now, as a result of Shimon marrying Leah, he's no longer able to go and marry all the other sisters. Rachel and Leah have Billa and Zilpah and Sprinza and Gnendel and Chani and all the other sisters that the two of them had. So now, as a result of, until Shimon married Leah, he could have married any one of those sisters. He could marry more than one, but one of them he could have married. Reuven is married to Rachel. What does it have to do with Shimon marrying Leah or marrying Sprinza or anybody else? Good morning, Rabbi. We're in the middle of the top Rashi on Lamed Daled Amid Aleph. So therefore, how does this young lady, Rachel, become more osir to Shimon than she was until now? It's not because of the brother's relationship with Rachel, but it's the sisters of Rachel and Leah that now become osir to Shimon. That Shimon until now was able to go and marry any one of the other sisters, whether it was Bila or Zilpa or Sprinza, but by marrying now, Leah is no longer able to go and marry those. So therefore, that's what Rashi calls, and that's what the Gemara refers to as adding more chatichos iser. There's no additional iser vis-a-vis Rachel that has been added to the equation. It's we've added a whole bunch of other ladies that we didn't even know existed until now. So again, just looking at the Rashi, Chazashim, and it's the first narrow line in the Rashi, Lamed Daled Amid Aleph, Chazashim and Mekidish Leah. When Shimon now marries Leah, Migu de Asri Le Hanoch Kedushin, as a result of this Kedushin, he now becomes Osir Bekulu Shar Achvasa to all of the other sisters besides Rachel and Leah. Why Mishum Achlis Isha? Once he's married Leah, he's now let her go and marry Sprinza and Bila and Zilpah and anybody else. Asri Le Nami Be Eishis Achiv. Guess what happens as a result of that Isser? That Isser now is spreads and asses even on Rachel. Mishum Achois Isha. Because of Achois Isha, that Rachel is now the sister of Leah, which is now Shimon's wife. The Avagav Dasura Alav Alei Vikaima, even though there was a pre-existing Isser, Shimon could not have married Rachel for $1 million because Reuven was married to Rachel, so he can't go and marry it. It's his sister-in-law. Nevertheless, because we've added now this new kiddushin between Shimon and Leah, where now all the other ladies become usher, really has nothing to do vis-a-vis Shimon with Rachel, but that's what we call an Isser Koil. Isser Koil, since this new Isser has arrived on the scene vis-a-vis all the other sisters, there's a new Isser showing that Isser spreads Migoy, that Shimon became Osir and all the other ladies, and now he also become Osir vis-a-vis Rachel yet a second time. And that's what the Mishnah said, that if the two switched wives, Chas v'Shalom, that Shimon would be over not only on Eishes Ish, and not only on Eishes Ach, which were simultaneous, those were Basachas, but also on Achois Isha. Why be Chayvinach? Ein Isser Chal Isser. But because his marriage to Leah causes additional Yisurim to other people that are not even in the picture, those are the other ladies, Migud, he becomes Osir on them. It's another layer of Isser vis-a-vis Rachel. I hope that has been satisfactory. If not, we'll speak about it after the
show. Thank you, yes.
Vadayin Rachel Zumateris L'Ruvain, Bala. However, after everything settles, after those three Yisurim, bottom line is Rachel, although she's not allowed to go marry any of the other brothers, and although Shimon is not allowed to marry any of the other sisters, but Rachel at least can live together with her husband Reuven because they are, Baruch Hashem, happy married husband and wife. However, what happens if Pirsa Nida, if Chas HaShalom, it's Chas HaShalom, if every month they have their normal cycle, and now she's a Nida, guess what? So now she cannot even go and live with her own husband. Vigo di toisif iser Allah legabi bala vis-a-vis Rachel. Now we are adding another layer of isur. In the case of the chois ishtoi, there was no initial additional layer of isur. It was only vis-a-vis the sisters, but not vis-a-vis Rachel. Here, as a result of her becoming nida, then she, Rachel, has her own isur placed on her. And that is the Gabi Bala. She now lives with her husband, Mishim Nida. Oh, because there is now this Isser Moisif, that a new layer of Isser is vis-a-vis someone that she was previously mutter to. That's her husband. He talks about Nami Isser, the Gabi Shimon, Hari Isser Moisif, as a result of that Isser of Nida attaching to her husband. Look, Nida, that is mutter. She was previously mutter to her husband, and the mutter individual became Aser. Oh, Miga, that individual became Aser. Therefore, vis-a-vis Shimon, there's yet another Iser. That's the additional Iser. So if we go back to that Rashi that we had back on page 64, Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Iser Moisif Shkisha, Iser Moisif Alachaticha, La Oisra Al Misha Hoisim Muteris Olav. Oh, so we see that's the very, very case that we just spoke about, the case of the Nida where Reuven was married to Rachel. The what? That vis-a-vis Reuven and Rachel, until now, she was Muteris Olav. She was mutter to live with her husband, and he was allowed to go and live with her. Guess what happened now? She became a Nida. As a result, is now an Isser on me, she hoise muteris olav, on the individual that until now she was mutter, now she becomes Aser. So migoy, that there's now an Isser on a person to whom she was mutter. Oh, so now we're going to say, based on that migoy, that she has now an Isser even to those people to whom she was previously Aser already, meaning Shimon and all of the other brothers. That's the case of the Isser Moisif. Yes. Can I just finish the Rashi? Iser koil she iser chal al chatichos acheres, meaning vis-a-vis Rachel, who was married to Reuven, there has been no new iser attaching to her on someone that was previously mutter. She remains mutter to Reuven. She remains aser to Shimon and to everybody else because she is married to Reuven. The fact that Shimon is now married Leah, Rachel maximum goes and sends a mazel tov card, or she attends the chuppah, but Rachel's status has not changed. What has changed is that Shimon can no longer marry the Bila and the Zilpa and the Leah and Natalia and the Shprinza and the Chanis, all the other sisters. But that has nothing to do vis-a-vis Rachel. As far as Rachel is concerned, everything that was Aser until now remains Aser. However, because of this Isser Koil, that we're now bringing in new Chatichos Acheres into the picture, no, Migah, that he becomes now Aser to Dilan Zilpa and to Chani and Shprinza, we say that it's also now an Isser vis-a-vis Rachel, even though Rachel says, why are you schlepping me into this? She also becomes now Aser yet once again to Shimon. Yes, Memdi.
Why come on altogether to Isser Moisif? She comes to Nida, that's the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
The Kaddish is the whole world, and includes Shimon as well. Isser Koil.
So you're saying that should be the Isser Koil. Why do we have to talk about the Isser Koil that she becomes Aser to her husband? So we have a rule of Einis Achalis, right? So normally, vis-a-vis everybody else, that she's already an Eishes Ish to, we should not go and add an Isser of Nida, because she's already Aser to everybody. So how can we go and add yet another Isser? There's one person in the world to whom she is mutter. Who is that? Her own husband. Vis-a-vis him, this Isser now has sprung out, burst forth, literally and figuratively, and now she is Aser to her own husband. Meager that there's a new Isser on her husband, now we can add an Isser to the rest of the population, all of the 3 billion people in the world. Is good? You're okay now?
One small question. In the case of the Isser Kolel, do there have to be other sisters in order for Isser Kolel to occur? Or is it just a theoretical? Since were there other sisters?
It's the former.
So if there are no other sisters, there's no Isser Kol.
Correct.
You.
You're very welcome. It's only it's based on the Migui. The Migui is that since somebody new is added to the equation where an Isser applies to them, sorry, if an Isser applies to them, then Isser applies to
and if
this
the fact,
individual.
And the facts don't have another person for the Migui, the Migui doesn't start.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Right. You're very welcome. Hopefully we've been able to clarify
it.
Thank you. Anyway, so to get to the four of our Mishnah, the Eishes Ach and the Eishes Ish, that was simultaneous, that was the Basachas. The Achois Isha was Chal only as a result of the Isser Koilu, and now by Nidus we have the benefit of Isser Moisef. Freit the Gemara, who's the Tana that holds all of the foregoing Isser? Omer Yidom Rav, Rameyer, is Rameyer. Who's Rameyer? The sign you will learn the Braisa. Yesh Oichal Achila Achas Chayvo Leha, Arba Chatois the Oshem Echad. You could have one individual who does one Echila, meaning he eats a full Kezayis, and based on that, he has to go and bring four Chatois and one Korban Oshem. Korban Oshem would be Asham Me'ilais. What would that be? A tamei, a person who's tamei, she'ochel chelev who ate chelev, and that chelev is not just chelev stam that you bought in the store, but it was part of a carbon.
So it's me'ila.
And it's talking about the carbon was beyond its time limit. Normally, most carbonists are the yom v'layla, and therefore min ha'toira, when you have amud ha'shachar, it becomes noiser if you didn't eat the carbon. And in the case of the chelev, you also have to put it on the mizbeach before Amud HaShachar, and if you didn't eat it or you didn't put on the mizbeach until then, again you'd have a problem of noiser, minimum kedushim from Karbonis, and to top it all off, he ate it on Yom Kippur. Now all of these things were done b'shoygeg. Rameyer says, since you're adding to the, you're trying to maximize the number of chatois, and Oshem, I can add one more. In Moshe Shabbos, it was Shabbos Chodesh, and he was chewing on it whilst he's walking around outside. Then Chayiv, he'd be Chayiv yet again because of the din of Hoitzah on Shabbos. On Melois, they told Rameyer, the reason why we didn't include that is Eimen Min Hashem, because that's totally unrelated to what we were talking about until now. That's yes, it's true. Of course, if he happens to be walking around and chewing it outside. What happens if at the same time he's also plowing the field? What happens if he's also planting in the field while he's chewing on it? Are you going to add another one? So, Eimen Hashem, this is not of the same type of genre character of the foregoing. How did we get to four chatois and to one Hashem? The Hashem is Hashem. The Elois is Moel Bekodshim. You're not allowed to have Hanoah from Kodshim, since the Chelev is supposed to be put on the Mizbeach by the fact that he had Hanoah from it by eating it. So that's the Hashem. So that's pretty straightforward. How do we get to the four Chatois? We're going to see the Rashi in a moment. But basically, had the person not been Makdish the Karban, then this Karban, the Chelev, would be Aser anyway. As we know, you're not allowed to eat Chelev of Behema. Now, it wasn't only Chelev. It also became part of Kodshim. And now when it becomes part of Kodshim, it has yet a second Isur, because you're eating from Kodshim. The third Isur is going to be that he ate it whilst he was Tameh. Then the fourth Isur is going to be that it was Noiser, in reality, any part of Karban. And, of course, the fifth is on Yom Kippur. So you have the five Isurim, the four Chatois, and one Asher. Let's take a look at the Rashi that goes through how we have a case of Isser Koil, Isser Moisef, and Isser Basachs. Jok Rashi. And it's pretty straightforward. Arba Chatois. Mishum Tumma, the Oichel Kodshim, Tumma Saguf, Bekores. It says in the Pasuk, Kol Asher, Venichrisa, if he eats from Kodshim, and he betumasi Ola Venichrisa, to the din of Kodshim. O Mishum Chaylev, anybody eats Chaylev, Kichol Oise Chaylev, Kikol Oichel Chaylev Venichrisa. O Mishum Noiser, any carbon that goes beyond this time period is a din of Karis. O Mishum Kippurim, and of course it's Yom Kippur. So we have the four Chatois, the Oshem or Asham Ilois, Tafila Koy, the Gabi Imrim, Zoru. Asham Ilois applies across the board to everybody, not only to a Zor, even a Koy, because you're talking about Chay that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, and therefore anybody and everybody would be over on me.
The fact that it's Nosar already removed the Kedusha that triggers the Ila, because it's an Avers Mano situation.
Let's see, like the next Rashi. In Moise Shabbos, Shabbos says, Rameir, I have one more. So now Rashi asks a very obvious question. Why are you talking about the fact that on Shabbos, Yom Kippur fell out on Yom Kippur? And Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry, just like you can't carry in Shabbos. So why do you have to see Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos? Yom Kippur fell out on Monday, Kippur fell out on Tuesday, Wednesday. What difference does it make? Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry. Al Mishum Kippur, Mloyam Machayev Oitzur, Dekosova, this Mandi Yoma that we're talking about, meaning Reb Meir. He holds Ein Erev Oitzah Yom Kippurim, the din of Erev and Oitzah only applies to Shabbos and not Yom Kippur. Vachim Mefarish Bekrisas Oishtei Nimon Krisas. Good. Alma Isla Reb Meir Kulu. He holds all the three exceptions of the Isra Chalal Isra. The Hocha Mishano Yitzra Behem Mezu. When this Behem was born, the Yichulim Tzchulim Nesra Chelba Bachila. The Chila became Osir Bachila Umutu Banah. You're allowed, of course, have a noah from chaylev. You're just not allowed to eat chaylev. You can go and sell the chaylev. You can go and use it to shmir the back of one of your animals, to go and shmir the donkey saddle, all types of things. So it's mutar banah. Yes, it's also bachil. So far we have one isra. Huktisha, he's makdishit, migoy di itoisif isra hano al hachaylev, mishum kachim. So once again, the inyan of isra moisif means that the pre-existing isra now gets superimposed with another isra. This chaylev until now was only asr ba'achila, now becomes asr ba'noah. Just like when we had the case of the Ruchel who was married to our friend to Reuven. If subsequently we have another isra being chal on Ruchel, because it's chal on Ruchel, then it's chal on everybody else. So that you have to have the one that was nitoisif too. So for instance, we said the case of, let's say, Rochel was mutter to Baala, now she became a nida. Now, migri, that it's a toisif, this new issa to her, then it's a toisif to the whole world. So here too, we have a case where the chegel until now was only osir b'chila mutter b'hanoah. Now we have hoisafas isur, that now it also becomes osir b'hanoah. Why? Because of kachim. See, toisif not, beinami isur achila mishum zaris. Even though there was no need to have another isur achila, I couldn't have eaten it until now anyway. But migri, that they have this new isur being chal on the rest of it. What is the rest of it? That is the fact that it now we get to din of kodshim, and therefore there's an isra hanoah which attaches, a second level of isra. Shai, so a person eats from it, now there's a second level of isra. He has two isra. So he toys it beinami isra chila mishum zaris. V'yavagav the osir v'koi b'achila, even though he was osir until now. Havalei, oh, period. So therefore we have now two isurim so far. Isra number one was the chaylev, and now we have the isra number two of kodshim, that he's being moil. And this is an isra moisif, as Rashi is going to explain in a moment. Havli noisif. Now it goes beyond the time period, which he should have put it on the mizbeach. Migudi toisif isra le mizbeach mishum noisif. So now, until now, this chaylev was mutter to somebody. It was usher to me and you, al tznadela. It's usher to everybody, out the din of kodshim. Guess what? Until now, at least it was muteris lemizbeach, because the mizbeach says, "Give me all of your chaylev of all the aymerin." Sure, that's what I'm here for. Go put. But now it becomes also even to mizbeach. Oh, this is someone that it was previously mutter to. It becomes also to, like Ruchel and Reuven. She was previously mutter to her husband. She's no longer mutter to her husband. Here too, this noiser is no longer mutter lemizbeach. Oh, the toisim now with the koyin mishum noisis, and now even the kehanim that until now had a right to go and eat the rest of the kohen, not the chaylev. They were not allowed to eat the chaylev because it's chaylev and it's me'ila b'kodshim. But now, by the fact that it becomes noiser, is yet a new iser is added to them. Why? Because migud that is osel and mizbeach, now it's also osel to the kohanim as well as every yid. Toisim now b'koyin mishum noisim. Hari hanoch trei, these last two that we just spoke about, the iser me'ila and the Isser of Noiser, are both Mishum Isser Moisif, because this original Chatichas Isser of Chaylev now has superimposed upon it two more Isserim, not only Alts Isser Chaylev, which was only Isser Achila, but there's now an Isser Anah Mishum Meila, and now there's a new Isser Alts Noiser. Now, Nitmezeh, this individual who is now eating from this delicious piece of chaylev, which also happens to be kachim, which also happens to be nicer, he becomes tameh. Until now, this individual, when he was tohir, he was able to go and eat all other, he couldn't eat chaylev chasashon, but he could eat basar kodesh. And if he was a kohen, he could eat him for kachim kodesh. If he just happens to be Yisrael, he could eat a kachim kal. But he was able to eat. Now he becomes osir. Why? Because of the fact that he became tameh. That the fact that he became tameh has really nothing to do with the chaylev. He couldn't eat the chaylev before and he can't eat the chaylev after. So vis-a-vis that, there is nothing new on the horizon. However, migud mitzvah shar chatichos, but now he's not allowed to eat the other karbonics that he could have eaten until now, the basar of the kachim, as well as the basar from this particular carbon that became Nebuch Noiser. Oh, now that it becomes also to Shar Chatichos, that already go, that tells you in your mind, that's like Rashi was saying, that's the Isra Koilu. Therefore, okay, so far I have the Isser of the Chelev, which was there originally. I had two Isser Moisifs that I added, Alts Me'ila and Alts Noiser, and now we just added Isser Koil, which is because of the fact now he became Tama, he becomes Osir to other Kachim, but we haven't come across yet Isser Basachas. Havli Yom Kippurim, oh! Since he becomes Yom Kippur, Ligu the Mitzvah Bechulen Mishim Yom Kippurim, Osir Nam the Kachim, Mishim Yom Kippurim, by Nami Isser Koil, yet another Isser Koil, sorry, we're not up to the Basachas yet. We're up to another Isser Koil. What's another Isser Koil? Now that it's Yom Kippur, not only can he not eat Kachim, after all, he's tummy, he can't eat any kachim, but he's still allowed to go and eat any chulin. Oh, he can't eat chulin either. No, those are shar chatichos. We're not talking about the original Isser Chelev. Shar chatichos become us because Isser Chelev, and therefore, this Chelev now has another Isser impressed upon it, and that is the fact that it's Yom Kippur. Since Rav Meir says that you're chayiv if you're chewing it on Shabbos outside Rosh Hashanah, why? The Kishkati, the Kiddush Hayoyim, when Yom Kippur started, Cholu Olav Isra Chilas Yom Kippur, the Isra Shabbos. Shabbos and Yom Kippur both started simultaneously at the exact same moment, at 6:07 and 18 seconds, whenever it was. Exact same. Oh, so now I have an Isser Basachas as well. So therefore says our Mishnah, since Rav Meir holds obviously from the three dinim of Isser Koil, Isser Moisev, and Isser Basachas, in the case of this person who ate from the Chelev, that would be the Tan of our Mishnah that also holds by the 40 surim of the Achois Isha, Mitesh Asach, Mitanida, Mitesh Asish, that those are all benefit from or have imposed upon them the very Sisurim of Isser Koil, Isser Moisev, and Isser Basachas. Azei Zotiwan. Back to the bar. When Rav Meir said this halacha, who is he going in accordance with? We've learned elsewhere that Rav Meir had at least two rebbe's. One was Rav Yeshua, and one was Rav Blazer. Besides that, we learned back in Chagiga Yotzer Acher, but we're not going into that now. So Rav Meir now has both Rav Yeshua and Rav Blazer, and now the question is, according to Rav Meir, who does he hold like in this particular case, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer? Why is Gemara asking this question? Because this person was what we call Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Why was it Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah? This happens to be an innocent individual, let's assume that he's a Kohen, and he was told that any time that you eat from a carbon, that affects some of the kapara, and this piece of chaylev, he thought was a piece of shuman, and therefore it's mutter like all the meat of the carbon, and therefore he was doing a mitzvah. Unfortunately, it turned out that he made a big, big boo-boo that he ate from Amarin, and we had the 4 and 5 Yisurim, which we just spoke about. But his intentions were good. Now, we have the Machloikis, the Gabi Tobit Van Mitzvah, V'loi Osa Mitzvah, or the Yechayiv or Potter. Where does that case come up? As you know, we're going to have Mitzvah Mabris here tomorrow morning. So the case is talking about a case of a bris. You have a Moyo, and there were two children that were required to have brisim. Both of them were born a week ago, but they weren't born on the same day. It could be we're talking about twins, or it could be talking about two children that are unrelated. Makes no difference. The point is, the moil, one bris he had to do on Shabbos, and one bris he had to do on Sunday. How could you have twins, one on Shabbos, one on Sunday? Very easy. One was born at the time of the Shabbos Shudas, and the other one was born a couple hours later. Malav Malka took a while until the second baby budged and moved out of its place. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. Point is, he had a Shabbos bris, and he had a Sunday bris. By mistake, there was a switch, just like we had in our Mishnah. And therefore, the Moil, by accident, on Shabbos went and gave a bris milah to the Sunday baby. Well, he didn't accomplish anything because that Sunday baby's bris on the seventh day is not valid. In fact, on the eighth day, or subsequently, we're going to have to go and be matif dam bris because he didn't have a proper bris. So he was loikia mitzvah. But instead, as a result, he was moitzi dam, and therefore he was over on at least one or more of the lamites malachas on Shabbos. So what's the din about it? Now, he meant it with all the best of intentions, but things didn't work out that way. So we have it in that of machloek between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Says Imar, if Rabbi Meir is going to Rabbi Yeshua, he'll leave Rabbi Yeshua. Ha'omar tov b'dvar mitzvah is potur. Person who's tov b'dvar mitzvah is potur. If that's the case, the person over here, the kohen that ate the chaylev, thinking that happens to be shuman, which is kosher, he should be potter. Not shouldn't have four chatoris with one carbon ashem. He should be potter from everything. And leave it up, Lezer. Lezer, hold it. Tobit bar mitzvah, but the awesome mitzvah. You're chayiv. Your intentions are great, but the ma'isa, what you did was wrong. So therefore, that's why you would have to have the four chatoris and the one carbon ashem. I can go according to Rabbi Yeshua as well. He come Rabbi Yeshua to Abed Bar Mitzvah, but I mean the Gabi Tinoi Kois, this man in Bol. Aval Hai, Kimidei, it's man in Bol, Loi. So what does that Gemara tell us? Gemara says that Reb Meir could be the Tana of our Mishnah. And the Tana of our Mishnah holds Taka, all of the four Chatois that we enumerate in the Mishnah, with the Eishas Hacha, Chois Isha, etc. So what's the, didn't Rabbi Yeshua say the Tobin Bar Mitzvah is Potter, and we're saying that you have four Chatois, or 16 Chatois, Frey Timara, how could that be? Kikam Rabbi Yeshua, Tobin Bar Mitzvah, Potter, Hanimila Gabi Tinoikres. They have these two children over here, both of them are crying, and both of them are making in their pampers and their diapers, and the Moil feels a lot of pressure because it's after davening. No, Moil, come on, Shnel, we're waiting for Kiddush, everybody's hungry, it's Shabbos morning, we haven't eaten, let's go, no Shnel. This is Manbo, so there's a lot of pressure. Under pressure, people can make mistakes. And his mistake was that he took the wrong baby, he took the Sunday baby instead of the Shabbos baby. Says Rabbi Shua, under these very, very difficult circumstances, what's BAUC, barring any
unforeseen circumstances.
So barring any unforeseen circumstances, he would have done a proper milah on the 8-day baby, but because of your BAUC, unfortunately he went and did the Sunday baby. Shai says, and so those situations in Rabbi Shua, he's part. In our case, in our Mishnah, he's not, they have to dafka go and marry tonight. You can wait until tomorrow. If you have any doubts as to who the wife is, whether it's Rachel or Leah, Leah and Rachel, sure, wait until the next day, identify exactly who the kala is, you know, move on to another place and you'll boil the next night. They didn't have to do it that night. Even Rabbi Shua would agree under those circumstances, you would be chayov. So therefore the Mishnah could go according to Rabbi Shua. He could in fact hold even according to Rabbi Shua. Pray tomorrow. I'll show you another case which is very similar, and there I don't say this manoi bohu distinction. Very truma de ins manoi bohu be kapata. Now we learned in the Mishnah. You have a kohen who's eating truma. He's been a kohen ever since he's been born, and he's been eating truma since he's been born, and it's a machai, everything is great. The noid, then all of a sudden he hears for the first time, he's 20 years old, noidishu ben gerusha ben chalutza, that his mother was a gerusha or chalutza, and therefore the kohen had no right to go and marry her, and as a result, she became this chala, as well as this child is a chola. A chola is not allowed to go eat truma. He basically has the same din, just like a Yisrael. So what happens now? He's been eating Nebuch Truma for such a long time, and he finds that the Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza is a Chalul. Well, what do you do? Reb Lezer Mechayiv Keren V'Chaymish. Reb Lezer says, it's like any Tzar who eats Truma, he's going to have to pay the Keren for the Truma, and he's going to have to add B'chamishisa Yosef Olav, he's going to have to add a Chaymish, and he's going to have to give the Keren V'Chaymish to a regular, normal Chaym. Rabbi Shua says you're potter. Now what's the reason why Rabbi Shua holds his potter? Because it's Tovid Bar Mitzvah. He thought he's eating truma and he's keeping it holy and he's holy and Mishmarti and he's doing a great job and he's eating the truma. He made a big bracha on it and now it turns out that he ate it when it was chol. So Rabbi Shua says that you're a potter. So there is no immediacy in having to go and eat the truma. There's no zmanei bohu. No, shnel, eat the truma, and therefore, Rabbi Shua nevertheless holds potter. So you see, Rabbi Shua doesn't distinguish between yo zmanei bohu, nish zmanei bohu. So l'choy, the teretz that we just gave is a shvacha teretz. Oh, it marlo, I'm Rabbi Yehuda bar Amaya, hachem betrumah erev Pesach haskinon, the zmanei bohu. It's 10 o'clock, and he's starting to look at the zman tzatul. He's looking at the schedule. According to Mogen Avraham, it's till 10:14, and according to him, they're going till 10:33, and he's all nervous. How do I feel? Do I go like Mogen Avraham? And then there's a question whether it's 72 degrees, or is it Ufek, and this and that. He's going crazy, and I got to finish. And his wife is screaming at him, did you open up the vacuum cleaner and go throw out all the wood? And did you go and clean under the table yet? And you still have to go and vacuum, and you have to do beer chametz, and he still has to go to the mikveh, and he still has to get Erev Pesach matzahs. Erev Pesach is one of the most harried and hassled days on the calendar, and so therefore, he, when he ate the truma, he's not starting to think yochol, nishkol, and yochol. Hey, better eat it quickly because this truma is waiting here, and we're going to have to burn it otherwise.
Time is of the essence.
Manable. Oh, so that's the case over there. Say nechanami if it was a regular situation, you would go, you're chayav. But it's Erev Pesach, manable. That's your part. this is the conclusion of the first teretz of the Gemara to the question that we asked at the very top of the Amud. The question that we started off with: who is the Tana that holds Isser Koil, Isser Moisev, and Isser Masachas? We find it's Rameir by the case of the person who ate the Chalev whilst he's chewing and walking in Shabbos, Rishus Harabim, and that's how you have not only 4 plus 1, but you have 5 plus 1, as we enumerated earlier. The Ibai Seim, I have another Pshat. You know who the Tana of our Mishnah is? It's not Rameir. It's Reb Shimon. The Isser Masachas will leave with Reb Shimon. Even though Reb Shimon, we learned yesterday and the day before in the Gemara, in the somewhat complicated Gemaras, that Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Isser Moisef and Isser Koil, but he does hold of Isser Basachas. And therefore, all the Surim of our Mishnah are talking about that it happened in Basachas. And that's when the person therefore violated by taking the wrong wife, then he was over on all of them. Now how do you have an Isser Basachas in our Mishnah? It's Bishlam Mikula Mishkachas Lahu, the Shavinu Shliach, Mishavu Inhu Shliach, Upoge Shliach, Mishliach. Meaning that the first three Isurim, which was the Eishes Ish, the Eishes Ach, and the Achois Ishtai, all of them happened, they all were triggered simultaneously. How did they all trigger simultaneously? You had over here that the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, they could not travel for whatever reason, and they appointed a Shliach to approach Leah and Rachel. And what did they do? They gave the Reuven and Shimon gave two prutois to a shliach and said, please go to Rachel and Leah and be mekadosh them. And Rachel and Leah were probably offended that the chasanim were not coming themselves, and they said, okay, you're sending a shliach, I'm going to send a shliach. And they appointed a shliach, and now the first shliach representing the two men gave the money to the two women, and therefore at the very same moment the men and the women became married to one another. There's now an Eishes Ish that attaches to each of the women, there's an Eishes Ach that attaches, and a Chois Ish that attaches to each one of the women at that same, very same moment, because the two prutas were handed from shliach to shliach. If the shliach would give it to the two women, then you'd say, which woman did he give it first? You say he gave it both at the same time. Well, you have a shliach with a shliach. At the very same time he gave one prut, he gave two prutas. So two prutas from shliach one to shliach two, and everybody agreed in advance, and they said, yeah, mutter with their maskim, boom. So both of them are married at the same time. All the three Isurim happen simultaneously. The question is, how does Nida fit into the picture that it should happen simultaneously with all the three? So Rashi says, you can go and say that at the very same moment that the shliach went and gave the money, then they also were both poiris Nida at the same time. But that, of course, would be a difficult shot.
Unlikely.
Very unlikely. So therefore, that's why they might want to find something which is, shall I say, more likely. Amram Amram Amarav, Bishoifes Mitech Yud Gimli Acher, Shloish Osir, Lichyuve in Hu, Mitech Shemosli Acher, Shemosli Lichyuve in He. The in Hu means the men folk, and He means the lady folk. And what we're talking about is that the reason why the Isser of Nidus happened to Basachas by both the men and the women, not that the men had priestess neither, but that the Isser attached to them, because they all became bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah at the same time. So the two nidois were already, the two women were already seeing nida blood whilst they were still kitanois. They were not 12 years old yet. They were 11 years old and 353 days, or 354 days, depending on the calendar and how many days that year. So they were still not gedolos. The next day they're going to become a gedolos. Same thing applied to the boys. The boys were exactly 12 years and again 353, 354 days, but they were not 13 years old yet. And we'll see in a moment what happened was that the two boys appointed the shliach that we spoke about, and for some reason Rashi likes the word Rosh Hashanah, but Mistama Lav Tafka, but an Erev Rosh Hashanah, these 12 and 13 years ago, in the respective families, there was a tremendous simcha. In the family of the ladies, Leah and Rachel, let's assume, were twins, and they were born, Baruch Hashem, 12 years ago. The two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, were born 13 years ago. All of them were born on Rosh Hashanah. Two sets of twins, Rosh Hashanah. The boys were born 1 year earlier, and the girls were born 1 year later. Now, fast forward 12 or 13 years, vis-a-vis the girls, they are now 12 years old. Not yet, it's still Erev Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow they're going to be 12 years old. The boys are going to be 13 years old. the girls are already shefas. Shefas means already seeing blood from Erev. The two boys now gave money to the shliach. Not of money, he gave a nice two rings to the shliach. You can say money would be muktzah, and therefore he hands over the two to the shliach, and they say, please hand over these to the two girls, and it should only be chal, it should only be effective tomorrow. For that matter, I give it to tomorrow. So what happens? By the tomorrow, when they hand over the rings to the two girls, not to the girls, but to the shliach, one hands it over to the other shliach, what happens? Not only the three Issurim happen simultaneously, but also the Issur Nida happens simultaneously. What do you mean happens simultaneously? There happens to be already Nida from before. That's true. But when does the Issur Ischal? Legally only on Rosh Hashanah itself. And it only will be Chal vis-a-vis all of these people at the same moment when they hand over the rings. So therefore, now we have a Hechatimtza that all four happen at the same time.
Let's take a look. You have one hole in that scenario. The boy,
each ring is a hole. Let's see the Rashi and see if you're happy with the Rashi, and then you'll pose your question. Okay? We're up to the third wide line, the Chiyuv Inu. Right? Third wide line of Rashi, all the way down below. Kalayim, Tam Zeked El Chayv Aschorim. Shecholu kulan alei v'bas achas, the b'hachiyoyma also the klal oishin. On that day was the first time they became klal oishin because it became bar mitzvah. Mitoch yud beis the ach, yud beis the chiyuve in he. Sheisha bo the klal oishin bas yud beis shon of yemecha, when she becomes 12. Vazoch li yagim of yemecha, as we know. U'mishkachas la, so how do you have now bas achas? Shenodwa hazchorim bi'echad b'tishrei, they were born on Rosh Hashanah, not now, 13 years ago. V'anakivs bi'echad b'tishrei, not now, 12 years ago. L'shon haba, in other words, a year later. Now on the same Rosh Hashanah, which will be 13 years after the birth of the boys and 12 years after the birth of the girls, mazel tov to all four, that we have four kiddushin in shul, two because of the boys and two because of the girls. Master kiddushin, they gave the kiddushin the day before on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that it should be chal on the next day. We don't want it to be chal on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we want it to be chal on Rosh Hashanah. Now, although Rashi talks about Rosh Hashanah, presumably the same thing would apply to today, ninth day of Nisan, and tomorrow the 10th of Nisan. They gave the money today, they were all born 13, 12 years ago on the 10th day of Nisan. Rashi probably just trying to do it for clarity. Everybody knows what Rosh Hashanah is. Anyway, continuing on, Shechul Yimachos, Kishahein Nas Gedolim, when they become Gedolim, the Yoim Echad, Bishnas Yud Gimel, Be'inan Limekevis, V'yim Echad, Bishnas Yud Gimel, Lishar, to make sure that they happen to be 12 and 13 respectively. It's not enough to be 11 years and 354 days. It has to be now 12 years and the first day into the 12th year. The same thing for the Scharm, the end of 13 years. The Hischilu Shoyfis Betoich Yud Beis Leda Adamachar. They already started seeing blood the day before, already in Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Avagav Shemidus Kodam, even though they became Nida prior to the Maisa Kedushin, they weren't answered to them. None of the four were klal mitzvahs. These were two ketanim. These were two ketanois. Hakedushin v'zoinish nidus chol aleim kishachoshka Rosh Hashanah shel yedgimel lenekevois shishnas yedalim deschar. So therefore, now the iser nida attached to the two husbands at the same time that they became husbands. Shakidushim anidus kadmu legadlusan utluim va'oim lelochol. The actual maisa kedushin and the maisa nidus all happened already erev yontif. Utluim va'oim, they're waiting. Waiting there in the bullpen to be chal, and when are they chal? Kishi and gadlu, when they become doylem. When do they become doylem? At the first moment of Yom Kippur, not of Yom Kippur, of Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry. Mishoachas cholukul, and therefore, from the very first moment of Rosh Hashanah, everything was chal at the same time. Since they handed over the kiddushin on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they said we want it to be effective tonight as soon as Rosh Hashanah begins. So as soon as Rosh Hashanah begins, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. All four of them have now become Chasanim and Kalis, all of them have gotten married, and as soon as that happens, the Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, Achois Ishtoi, and Nidus all apply at their very same home. L'hochi Nochet Shoyfais. The Efsher Litzamtem, this is what we were talking about before. Why don't we just simply say that at the moment that they gave, the Shliach gave to the Shliach the rings, boom, at that very moment they saw nidus. Yes, but sometimes priests need a tvisa kedusha mishuachad exactly the same time. And came kod mishuachad because so therefore, since they were ketanim from before, and now the isra is only chal when they become gedoy lim and gedoy lois respectively. And since the kedusha only can be chal from the first moment of Rosh Hashanah when they become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, well, so everything is chal at the same time. Did that address your issue? You still have a question?
No, it does not.
Okay, so what's your question?
Okay, so first of all, I understand the girls could be contract marriage. Their father, when they're katanim, appoints a shliach. But how could the boys, if they're less than bar mitzvah, appoint a shliach?
That's a very good question. Tons of rishonim ask that kasha on Rashi, and therefore they disagree, and they come up with other hechatimtzes. But that's how Rashi learns that the two boys were able to make a shliach the day before. Or, for that matter, according to this teretz, we no longer need that you have the shliach. They could actually handle the rings the day before, because they're not. They don't want it to be chal now. They don't want it to be chal at night. At night, they already become gedolim and gedolois respectively.
Okay,
so you all at the same time. But all the mafarshim ask the kasha Rashi, how do they have enough mental power to go
legal effect?
Exactly.
Well, the other question is. A girl, just forget all this Rosh Hashanah,
yes.
Tishrei. A girl is 11 and a half years old, yes. and she's a Nida. She's Poris Nida.
Right.
If a man lives with her, this right. is a question, not a challenge.
Right.
If a man lives with her, is he boiling? Is he? He's boiling Nida. I mean,
the man, yes, but not her. She would not be
over there. So in that case, it's only a chatas. Bishogay is a chatas for him and not for her.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
And we continue on now. That was the challenging part of today's Gemara. From here, it's rather
so
easy.
So all these things happened, and subsequently they had marital relations.
Exactly. That marital relations.
The Isra already came, and now they have relations, and that seals their fate, unfortunately.
Exactly. Until this point, when they're handing over the Kedusha, nothing happened.
Right.
It's only when they're going to live together, subsequently, all of the original 40 Surim were
waiting,
and they'll all be now triggered when they have a Maisabia sometime later.
One final question.
Yes, even three more questions.
Then. Let's start in Yishpechel Achil Achas Chaim Agatois.
Right.
And from Ashimachim. But it's a Zari entity. Let a Zari be one involved here. Another Chatas.
It's not Chatas, that's a Zar, it's Kachim.
I'm saying, it's saying that Chatas here and Asham, but a Zar, it's a Kachim, not a Vera.
Okay, so what's the Avera? What do we add to the mix? A Zar who eats Kachim, or if he eats Aymarin that are supposed to go on the Mizbeach. The Zor's Isser vis-a-vis those Amarin is exactly the same as the Koyim and exactly the same as the ladies. All of them are being moil in something which is Kachi Mizbeach and not Kachi Oda. Rashi said that even for the Kohen, he didn't mean, Rashi used the expression, that feel Koyim, the Gam Amarin Zor. But of course, a Levi in Israel are equally Zorim, and if not more so.
Same Mr.
Me'ilah, we haven't added or subtracted it or changed.
One last question on that. In the case of the Nosar, once it becomes Nosar, it still has, the Me'ilah still persists?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mavrishin Oysan. So now we go back to the Mishnah. We remember we said at the end of the Mishnah that because of this total confusion, Mavrishin Oysan Shloish Chadosh, we do not allow the husbands and wives to get together again, the real husband with a real wife for 3 months, because maybe they became ubas. The assumption from our Mishnah is that this was a one night thing where they unfortunately Reuven married the lived with the wrong one and Shimon lived with the wrong one. The next morning they're going to realize, oh, what did we do? This is terrible. And we're going to tell them they have to bring 16 chatois all together. But bottom line is, there was only one beer. We have a rule that any Ishim is a Beres, but be a Rishayna, so we don't have to worry about the 3 months. Let them get back to the right husbands that night and Sholem al Yisrael. Omer Nach, of course, they're neither, so we wait 7 days until they tarif. Omer Nach, when Omer Abavua, Shemba'alu Vishanu. It's talking about that night they lived together twice. And since they lived together twice, that was the Isser of. So the second time she could have become pregnant, and therefore that's why you have to wait the 3 months. I can tell me, once they saw the blood the first time, why did they live together the second time? Either they didn't see the blood, they remained in total darkness, or it could be that they saw blood and they assumed that it was Dam Sulam and not Dam Nida. Anyway, and that's why they continued them. Continuing more about the Hadassanya, It's not no longer 16 because they had beer twice and then they were over each time. Eishes ish twice and each nidus and eishes ach.
By sabia triggers a chatas kavur.
And therefore should be
32. Bump it up.
Exactly. Reb Lezer is even more machmir, and he says that any time a person engages in an isser of bia that is prohibited by the Torah, it's not just he gets one carbon chatas if he did b'shogig, but every single tenua, every single effort that he brings to, not to the table, but to the bed when he's living man and wife, in the form of man and wife, when they're mating together, every single vayta, another movement on his part, is machayiv another carbon chatas. And that being the case, theoretically, in one beer, you could have 10 carbon chatas or more. That then, therefore, say kuntra blazer, not just 16. If you have 10 such koichais, you could have 10 times 30 to 16 would be 160, and so on and so forth. It's two vahavim. So why did we only say 16? El of the b'koyach rishin kachashim, because we're only talking about on the first koyach, that first effort in the bia, according to Blazer. How can I the bia rishin kachashim? We're only talking about the first bia. What happens if that night they had three bia? It's a four, and then you can keep on multiplying it. So we're talking about the first bia, 16. Amli Rav Nachman. Let me stop asking you a kasha. But Amar the bia rishin iabra, we find in the Torah that she lived, as you know, she covered herself until Yehuda thought that she was a Zayin, and he lived with her, and he lived with her only a one-nighter or one beer, and she became more embarrassed, and then of course he became very upset, and the whole story in the Torah, met Zerach, met Paretz, and Paretz. Anyway, but the point is, there was only one beer, and it's Miss Abra, and she became pregnant, and you told me that you can't become pregnant on one beer. The easy answer is that she lived previously with Erva Oinan, so she was already, there was no longer Psulim. Mor is going to address that in another couple of lines. What Tamar did was she first removed her own psulim. In English it's called a hymen. She went and pressed with her finger to go and break through, so we did not have to wait until Yehuda broke through Bishas Bia. It was already broken through. The whole Indian why a woman doesn't become pregnant the first time is because that Bia has been used to go and first break the hymen, break the psulim, and for some reason there's no longer koyach in the zera or whatever, and doesn't go to its spot, whatever the physicality is. But bottom line is that prevents the woman from becoming pregnant. But here she was totally open, as if she was a ba'ula, and therefore that's why she became pregnant the first time. The Amr of Yitzchak Kolam Mayachos Shabbos Rabbi Tamar Shman. All of the women in the that married the Talmidim of Rabbi, they all had a nickname called Tamar. The Lamech Shman Tamar had to get her name. Hashem Tamar Shemoach Betzvah. They were also Moach Betzvah. What's the reason why Tamar was Moach Betzvah? We find Rashi in Chumash says Chazal tell us because Tamar was totally the Shem Shemayim. She was very upset. She wanted to have Zera from Yehuda, and unfortunately she was denied to Shela. As you remember, Er and Oinan both sinned, as the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment. They both died, so she wanted to go marry Shela, and Yehuda prevented her from marrying Shela, and she wanted to go in the kind of midst of Yibam, as well as being part of the Beis Yehuda, having children from Yehuda. And so this year, she was very, very l'shem shemayim. She knew that this trying to fool Yehuda one night is only going to be a one bia situation, so that's why she broke through, so that she would hopefully become pregnant the first time. V'kacha. What does it have to do with the Moyachas Shel Beis Rabbi? Because elsewhere the Gemara tells us that when the Talmid Chum in those days, after they got married, they would typically go away to Koil for 6 months or a year at a time, and they wouldn't see their wives. Just like we find by Rabbi Kiva, who came back 12 years later with the 24,000 Talmidim, etc., etc. So here too, the women were afraid they're just going to have a one-nighter, and then the husband's going to go away for Koilu right after Sheva Brochas week or whatever, and they won't have a chance to go and live a second time, and therefore they're going to be barren. That's why they wanted to become pregnant already the first time. So if the husband is a Grace Masman and he's going to leave, that you'll be pregnant by the time the husband comes back, Baruch Hashem, there'll be a baby. So therefore they all got the name Tamar. Oh, very good. Thank you, Baruch Mahava, Erba Oinan. Why do you say that Tamar already from the first time? You have a problem that she had to be Moacha Be'etzvah. Didn't she already live with Erva Oinan, and therefore she should already have a Pesach Pesuah from before? They were not Mishamish normally, they were Mishamish from the back, and so therefore at the psulim were never broken through, and that's why she had to break through herself by being Moacha Be'etzvah. Rabbi Lezer gives a tremendous kula, which the Chacham are going to shoot down in a moment. You'll remember at the beginning of our Masechta, I think in Daf Zayin or Daf Ches, the Gemara talked about that three are Meshamish B'moich. Moich means to go and put something there in the birth canal to prevent the woman from becoming pregnant yet a second time. And one of the women we were talking about was a nursing woman, because if she's nursing, she needs all of her blood to supply the milk for the baby, and if she's going to become pregnant, then a lot of that milk is going to be diverted, a lot of the blood will be diverted from being changed and converted into milk. It's going to be necessary for the new baby, and therefore, chas v'shalom, there was no formula in those days, and the baby might die. So for the first 24 months, dashbim mifnim v'zorim b'chutz, to prevent the woman from conceiving yet again, from becoming pregnant. He can be dashbim mifnim, that means he has a normal bia, as men and women typically have. However, when it comes time for the shechva zera, the keri, to come out, zorim b'chutz, he removes his eiver from the woman, and then it spritzes out on the floor, or on the body, or whatever. And that would be the way to prevent a possible sakana for the nursing mommy and for the baby. Divrei bless. Amalei Chacham said, halolo eini ela kimasa erva oinin. What you're talking about is like masa erva oinin, that you're destroying seed and you're mashchis shechva zera, which is a terrible, terrible isur. And therefore, chas v'shalom, don't do something like that. What you're talking about is kimasa erva oinin. So now it sounds like the masa erva oinin was that they were also dosh mi mifnim v'zayim mi bechutz. That being the case, that means that they broke through the hymen, the psulim, so we didn't need Tamar to go and break through the psulim. So what are we talking about? Everything about kimas ervoinen, v'loy kimas ervoinen. Kimas ervoinen, d'chsiv oyim boy, elishas ochev, v'shiches arza. For the kimas ervoinen, the ilu hasem, shleke darka, v'hacha ke darka. What the Gemara says is, it wasn't mamish the same as ervoinen, it was only similar to ervoinen. That just by ervoinen, they wasted their seed. Had they wasted by living together with Tamar Shaloi Kedarka from the back instead of from the front, as one normally would do it. So therefore they were Mashchazera, a terrible Aveira, just threw it out, wasted it. However, they were not Dosh Mefnim Vizirim Bachutz, because we see that Tamar had to be Moacha Be'etzba to go and break through her psalm. So it's a terrible iser what you are suggesting, Rabbi Lezer, that we should allow for Dosh Mifnim Zayim B'chutz, but it's not mamish by Ervoinen, it's reminiscent of Ervoinen that they were also mashchis there. The passage that you just quoted a minute ago, here on the three lines earlier, that says by Oinen. How do I know that Er also sinned with the same thing of Shloi Kedarka? But Yitzchak to say, but Yom Eskam Oisoi, and it says in the pasuk that the Kodesh Baruch Hu killed not only Er initially, but also Oinan. Why does it say Gam Oisoi? Afu Bois and Misa, Meister Gontei, that Er and Oinan both got Misa for the same Aveira, for being Mashka Zera. That's how the pasuk continues on. Why was she chesarza? Because he knew that he did not want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yibam, that Er had passed away, and that he's going to be making the ochav shame. I don't want to. I didn't like Er. Er was a terrible guy. I couldn't stand him. And therefore, I don't want to go and establish a name for Er by having a child on his behalf. But why did Er do that? Why did he Er? By going and being mashka zera, to the mokadesh loy tisaber v'yachish yofia, because he was afraid that Tomer is going to become pregnant and that's going to diminish her beauty. Tanur Rabbanan.
So we explained that the aveira that they did was
that they lived together with her shaloi kedarka, right. Therefore they didn't allow her to become pregnant, and that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu was angry with them being mashka zera for doing
that. But not like Rashi says in Chumash that they were. Whatever.
Exactly. That Shofei B'chutz is the case of the Dosh Mifnim Zayim B'chutz. That's a blessing.
Right, okay.
The reason why Rashi and the Mefarshim talk about it, that L'chore is Keneged Agamar, because Agamar sounds like Shloi Kedarka, the Loshon HaPosik sounds like Shechazat. Rashi in Chumash is giving the easier pshat, which is what it sounds like. That what? That there was Zaka Dosh Mifnim. According to Agamar. Right, they bring other Torahs, Kahanim, they bring other
Rabbanan. Rabbi Lezer is saying that it was permissible.
It's permissible to a nursing mother.
To a nursing mother, right. Even though
Dafka didn't want her to become a nursing mother.
but he's still he's mashra zera. But in that case, it's not considered.
That's mutter zera. Exactly. There's no isra involved. Turn around. Oh, this is a pasuk we learned in yesterday's pasuk. It says the ish ki yishkav as isha shichva zera, and then she becomes tamei. She has to go to the mikveh. This is not a halacha that is relevant.
Okay,
that's a good word. It's not negia so much la halacha today, because anyway we do not have the benefit of eating truma or kachin. But in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, in times of the Torah, any time that there was a mating between husband and wife, then the wife would become tamei as a result of the shichva zera entering her body. So it's not as a result of the touching of the shichva zera, because Rashi says tumas beis astorim loy mitam. It's just the act of living husband and wife, and he is mazriya zera into her, then she has to go to the mikveh. Similar to the concept of the Tfilas Ezra, where the husband also has to go to the mikveh, except the Tfilas Ezra is not negiya, it's not the minhag, although many are machmir, but that's not the halacha. But the halacha does apply to women, that they do have to go to the mikveh after any time they live together with their husband. Anyway, it says in the pasuk v'shachav ish oisa shechweza, what's the oisa? Prat lekala. If it's a kala that just got married, she does not have that requirement of having to go to the mikveh. We'll see in a moment why. The review. If the husband was mazriya zera, but from the back and not normal, then again the woman does not have to go to the mikveh. Amale hoin bereid of Nachman le Rav Nachman. Hoin said to his father, is the reason why we give a free pass to a kala, because the Torah has rachmanis on her tachshita. Now, when we use the term tachshitim, we always refer to jewelry. Well, the Gemara says tachshitim means cosmetics. And so therefore, as you know, every kala before she gets married, she has to go to the makeup lady, and they go and shmir, and here, and up and down. It takes an hour or two, and all the other shmirachsim.
With Esther, it took 6 months. So
exactly.
A relatively short time.
Exactly. Anyway, but there at least it was government paid. Here you have to go and pay the makeup lady yourself. So, getting back to our Gemara, it says the Torah chosla tachshite kala. What's the reason why the kala should get a free pass that she doesn't have to go to the mikveh? Because we're worried about that all the makeup is going to dissolve in the mikveh. Exactly. Amalei, if you shein isha misaberes mi birishon. It's not because we have rachmanis on the cosmetics. The reason is because she cannot be misaberes mi birishon. And since the kala we're talking about is the first time, and she's not going to become misaberes, and the pasuk refers to that she lives with her husband with shichva zera. Shichva zera over here is not going to poil, it's not going to be effective. So therefore, that's why there's an exception to this rule. The pasuk says, "Isha sheishkav." I'm sorry.
Shichva zera doesn't make her tum. I understand. Repeat that part about the shichva zera, because the shichva zera I thought is like my anus shows up.
You have the good fortune of having the. The art scroll which has in the Torah Hashalim,
yeah,
which I believe it's Ois Gimel. You'll do us all the favor. Isha sheishkav ish oisa, a husband and wife. He lives with her shichva zera. What's the right
thing?
They have to go to Rachat Zubamayim, means that they have to go to the mikveh tomorrow, and then they come tomorrow until nightfall, right? Because Erev Shemesh.
Right.
So there's a requirement: the man and the woman to go to the mikveh.
Yeah.
Good. So now our Gemara tells us, since the pasuk says isha sheishkav ish oisa shechva zera, oisa is prat lekala. According to Chum, it's prat lishalikadarka. Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good.
Now the question is, why does the kala get a free pass? She doesn't have to go to the mikveh that night. So we thought the reason is because we have rachmanis on the makeup.
Right.
So the Gemara, no. The reason is because since the pasuk says isha sheishkav ish oisa shechva zera, it's a type of zera that can be mazriya. Here the zera can be mazriya because it's the first time that she's living together with her husband, and therefore she's not going to become pregnant, and that's the reason why there is a free pass. Rashi says, if that's the case, why don't we go in darshan instead of from oisa? We should go in darshan for the word shechva zera.
Yes,
that can be mazriya. That's so. Rashi's kasha. So Rashi says the answer is because the shechva zera is potent. This woman's beis hastarim are ultra potent. under normal circumstances,
it would be effective.
It would be effective. It's only because it's the first time, and therefore it doesn't reach it. So therefore, that's why
somebody else would touch it. If it was there, it's not matame.
If they touch it outside of a rechem, yeah, it would become tame because it's begoli. It's a din of tumas basis starim.
But it's poletis. It's poletis.
What means poletis? Poletis means when it comes out.
Right.
But it's not. We're not talking about a poletis shifra there. Even if the zera stayed in, any woman that lives together with her husband one time, she's tummy. The din of poletis shech vazeret means even after she went to the mikveh. If 2 or 3 days later the same shech vazeret comes out before 3 days are over, since it's still potent, she becomes tummy once again, and she'd have to go to the mikveh a second time.
What about this kala? So when it goes in, that's fine. It's not. She gets the pass,
right?
Yes, from the meal. But in terms of, but
if she's going to poletis shech vazeret, yes, she'd have to go to the mikveh.
Will be,
and she will. Anyway,
right,
you're now getting off the subject. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi,
okay.
Rashi is about a third down the Amal Fishin Ishan is better than Shana. Veloy Sheikh was Zera Karinam Bay. This Sheikh was not called Sheikh Zera. They don't realize Riyah. She's not going to become pregnant. Umi Umi Utami Sheikh was Zera Loin after. Why do we learn from Sheikh Zera? Hoyu Vahay Makam Royla Hazriya. Who maybe Yishneim, because Miet Shem the next night, it's going to be Roy Lazria. Umi Shem Negiya B'Shech Vezera Nami Loi Metamia. We're not talking about Tochi. Tumas Beis Estorim and Metamia. B'Shech Vezera is the cause of the Bia. Bia caused a woman to become Tamei, whether you like it or not, stand on your head, whether it's the first Bia that they've ever had, the thousandth Bia. Well, the first Bia is a pass, but otherwise, always becomes Tamei, not because of touching, but because of Tumas, but because of the cause of the Bia. Anyway, back to our Gemara. What's the machlek is? From the word Sheikh Vazera itself, you can learn prat leharoa. What happens if it wasn't a full fledged beer? It was only a partial beer. So machlek is what haroa exactly means. It means it was penetration, not penetration. Anyway, pratlish and oisab. That's what I learned from Sheikh Vazera. And from oisab, pratlish by kedarka. And therefore, I don't have another drasha to go and patter the kala. To be the savish shloikedarka varoa mishich vazera nafka oisa brat the kala. That the shloikedarka cannot ever be shich vazera, can never be mazriah, and haroa ult is not mazriah. So therefore, learn after shich vazera oisa brat the kala. Fine. Kiyos rabbi number biyichen kol sheshua shuasa. This is a new shtickle. Kiyos rabbi number biyichen kol sheshua sa acher bala eser shonim. Then this is shum any letters. What happens if you have a woman that was married and now either she got a divorce or she became an almana and for the next 10 years she waited and did not remarry? She baruch Hashem after 10 years she did remarry. Shum any letters. From this point on she will no longer be able to have a child because she was for 10 years she didn't live with a man. No longer can she have a child. Amar Nachman, that's not a universal rule. That's if she gave up on the idea of remarrying or marrying. If she intends to marry, it's embarrassed because her hormones are such that she constantly
she's
wants
hopeful.
To. I'm sorry, she's
hopeful.
Yeah, she's hopeful and optimistic. Rav Chizda. Bas Rav Chizda was Rav's wife. He's calling her, the Gemara doesn't tell her what the name is. Rav is talking now to the daughter of Rav Chizda, his wife. Kamarani Rabbanan Abasrech. People are saying bad things about you. Meaning, as we know, Rav Chizda had one daughter that we're talking about. She was originally married to
Rami Bar Chama.
Rami Bar Chama had passed away. Now 10 years have passed since then. And only after the 10 years did she go and marry Rava. And now, after she married Rava, she became pregnant. And people say, oh, it looks very strange. And Chazal tell us that if you weren't married for 10 years, Amrlei, I know that Allah Chava. My whole time I was thinking about you.
I know that, right?
Okay, so please share.
The Gemara in Brachas, when I think it's in Gemara Brachas, which she said when Rav Chizda says which one do you want to marry? She said, I want to marry both of them. And Rav says, I want to be the second. So we see from a very young age she had her intention to be married to Rav. Even when before she married Rav Chama, she intended to be married to Rav also.
So in Bava Basra and Daf Yedeis, it says that Rav Nachman had his daughter on his lap. Rav Chizda had his daughter on his lap. And both Rami Bar Chama and Ravu were appearing in front of them. And the father asked the daughter, you see these two young men, both are Chosha and Tamil Chachamim, who would you like to marry? And she said, both. And Ravu said, but I want to be number two. And Vekachava, when she grew up older, she eventually married Rami Bar Chama. 10 years passed, and then she married Rav. And then Rami Bar Chama passed away, and then she married Rav. So our Gemara tells us that this young lady had her mind on both of them already when she was still a young girl, and therefore the the qualification of Rav Nachman, Lashon Shein Dachli Nosei, Dachli Nosei Mesiberes, applies in this case. And in fact, the Gemara has another similar but different set of circumstances. He asked the comment of Yosef, somebody came from Rav Yosef, Omulayim, she said, Rebbe, Ami Sheisi Akher Baal Yeshishonim. My husband had passed away, 10 years passed, and I got remarried. Vilanati and Baruch Hashem, I had a child, so you see what the Rabbanim said is not true. Don't be moitzilas. What you're telling is not the full truth. You're leaving out some important factor. And then Amrele, she said to him, you're right. During the 10 years, in fact, I did have a bia with a guy. I didn't get married, but I had a bia. So therefore, the hormones and the physical stuff were... The
machinery was still working.
Yeah, it was still
functioning.
Still functioning. Good.
Laz is bilbomysis, or Laz is rumors?
Laz is gossip. Or to go and denigrate by saying falsehoods. Okay, so now we get back to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that normally, because of this confusion between the husbands and wives, you got to wait 3 months. Why? So now the Gemara is going to talk about other similar circumstances. We could theoretically end when we get to the bottom of the Amud, but we were hoping to go and learn also the Amud Aleph. It goes fairly quickly. So the question is whether everybody has the patience for it or not.
I do.
You do. Good. So that I'm not surprised. Okay, we already said that. Back to Shmuel. Omishmuel, 5 lines, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Omishmuel, the Kulun Tzricha, Lahamdin, Shloisha Chadoshim, everybody, the Kulun. Who's that, the Kulan? We don't know yet. We're going to see in a moment. Kulan Tzrichas Lahamdin Shloish Chadoshim. Anybody that was previously married and now married the second time, you got to wait 3 months. Chutz, Migioiris, Umishachreris Ketan. If you're talking about a Gioiris, a woman that just became, was previously a Goit and now became a Gioiris, and you're talking about Shachreris, a Shifcha that became now a Yidna, became now Jewish, and by both of them we're talking about Ketanois. They do not have to wait 3 months. They can go and marry without any waiting period. And therefore, says Gemara, so when you said the kulon chutz migiyorish rachim katana, so you must have been referring to katana bas yisrael tzricha lahamdin gilu chadoshim. So it sounds like even though the girl is only 10 years old and now she's marrying a second time, can you imagine a 10 year old already getting married for the second time? Anyway, she got to go and wait 3 months because we don't want it to be confusion between Zera of the first husband and Zera of the second husband. I know you're both going to tell me a katana cannot be pregnant. Right. So stay tuned for further Gemara. Frank, you move on. What are the circumstances that this katana has now been married and is now remarrying? Are we talking about the Mion, that she is still a katana and she was married off by her mother, and therefore she was memenis against the first one, and now she wants to marry a second husband? Shmuel says in the case of Mion, you don't require 3 months. Where is that Shmuel? We'll see in one more line. The Ibiget, and if she left her first husband because she was divorced, in both cases, Shmuel has already addressed these issues. The Omer Shmuel, in the case of Mion, not like you said a moment ago that a Ketana Bas Yisrael does have to wait 3 months. Mianoshi does not have to wait 3 months. Noslan again, Tzrich Lahav Nishloish Chadoshim. Shmuel already said it once. Why does Shmuel have to repeat it? The Jumai Ella Biznus. We're talking about a situation where she lived Biznus without the benefit of marriage. She lived with someone. And now what did Shmuel say about this girl? That she has to go and wait now. Tzrich Lahav Nishloish Chadoshim. Now why? After all, she's only Ketana. Because Rabbi Ketana Mishem Gedoyla. However, we were only goyzer by a regular katana. We were not goyzer by a giyoris katana or mishokaris katana, because that's loy shchiach. You look at the top Rashi, v'gabe giyoris katana le'goz mishol loy shchiacha. How often do you find a giyoris katana? So therefore, even if she did engage in relations, she didn't engage in relations, she can't become pregnant anyway. A regular katana, we were a goyzer. A katana of a, in the case of the giyoris, we were not goyzer because it had a double shchiach. Do you want to turn the tape off over here and then start it again so you'll be able to go
as you wish? I guess you turn off and I'll step in this.
Okay, right side. We're going to stop over here and we're going to start in the next tape with a new.